fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Let's pray. Father, as we come before thee this morning, we thank thee for the opportunity to gather around your word. We thank you for the freedom that we have been given in Christ, eternal life, abundant life. And we're so grateful for the fact that we can gather as a group of believers in a public area and worship you freely. Help us not to take for granted this opportunity we've been given. Father, I pray for the souls that are here that your word would speak to hearts and lives, that your spirit would work in our hearts and lives, that we would yield to what you desire for us to have today. I pray for the soul that may be here this morning that does not know you as Savior, that today would be the day that they humble themselves before thee and trust thee by faith before it is eternally too late. I pray for the Christian that is here that maybe needs encouragement, for the one that is struggling, the one that is going through times, difficult times, that you would just encourage their heart and help them. I pray that above all else, you would be lifted up to draw them in unto you. May you be glorified. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. You may be seated. The thought I have for us this morning is found in verse 6, 7, and 9 with this simple phrase that the Word of God has penned by His Holy Spirit and men of old times past. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. You come to the book of Joshua and we are coming to a very pivotal time in the nation of Israel. At this point in time in the book of Joshua, as we read in the first beginning verses, we find that Moses, the great leader, has gone on to be with the Lord. Moses was a great man. I don't know where I read this, but I read it in an article where it said that the top 50 leaders of all time, the greatest leaders of all time that they consider at West Point, Moses is in the top 50. Moses was a great leader. Moses was the man that led the nation out of Egypt. He was the one that saw the plagues come to pass, and he was the one that saw the parting of the Red Sea. He was the one that led them in the wilderness. Moses was a great leader. He was a great man. But he not only was he a great leader, he was a spiritual man that had a close walk with God. The Bible says that Moses was a friend of God's. And friend, I cannot think of a higher compliment in this earth than to be called a friend of God's. Moses was not just a great man, a great leader. He was a spiritual man, a man that was a friend of God's. But if you read in the Old Testament, if you read in the Pentateuch, there comes a time where they're at a rock and the nation of Israel is grumbling and complaining about water. And God tells Moses, "Moses, what I want you to do is I want you to speak to the rock and water is going to flow out of it." But when you read that account, you find that Moses in his anger doesn't speak to the rock. He hits the rock. And God tells Moses, "Moses, because of your disobedience, you are not going to be allowed to lead the nation of Israel into the land of Canaan." And so we find at the end of Moses' life, Moses is brought up onto the mount. He gets to see the land of Canaan, but he does not get to enter into it, and he passes away. And God selects Joshua to be the next leader. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've filled a position of somebody that has done a great job before you, but the quote goes, there are big shoes to fill. Joshua had big shoes to fill in following Moses as the leader of Israel. But not only did Joshua have big shoes to fill, think about the people he is leading. We think Americans are stubborn and divided nowadays. Read up in the Old Testament about the nation of Israel. You talk about a tough group to lead. God leads them out of the nation of Egypt through the plagues. They see 10 miracles of God. They see some amazing things. They get to the Red Sea. God is leading them. And what do? "Moses, you've led us out here to die." So God parts the Red Sea. They walk on dry ground. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. If you have, just let me know what medicine you're on. Amen. We'll correct that. But I haven't heard of anybody that's done that before. Amen. I have not met somebody that's walked on dry ground over a sea. And you would think after seeing those types of miracles, you'd think, "Man, I'm going to trust God." But that wasn't the nation of Israel. They get out into the wilderness, and what do? "God, you led us out here to die." That's the kind of people Joshua has just been called to lead. So not only does he have big shoes to fill, but he's also with a group of people that don't really have a great track record. And God comes to Joshua and the nation of Israel as they are preparing to endeavor into probably the most important part of their journey, which is going into the land of Canaan and conquering the land of Canaan for God and his people. And God comes to Joshua, and not once, not twice, but three times before they enter into the land, God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. And friend, today, God is looking for people like he was when he was speaking to Joshua, of people to be strong and of a good courage. Our homes are desperately in need of a father and a husband that will be strong and of a good courage. Our homes are in desperate need of mothers and wives that will be strong and of a good courage. Our homes are in desperate need for young people to be strong and of a good courage. Our schools need it. Our churches need it. Our communities need it. And our nation needs it. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of all the whimsical things that are going on in our day and age. And before we blame the government, I want to remind you, our government is a representation of us. And what we need more than ever is for God's people to stand up and to be strong and of a good courage. What this nation needs is for us to determine by God's help and by God's grace, we are going to be strong and of a good courage. I'm sick and tired of people looking for excuses for somebody else to do the job. Friend, God desires for you and I this morning to be strong and of a good courage. The word strong here this morning simply means this. It means to fasten upon, to seize, to play the man. And what God is looking for this morning is for believers to fasten upon and to seize him and his word and be willing to play the part that God has called them to do. In October 16, 1555, Latimer and Ridley were two men that were in Oxford, England. And to kind of give you an idea of what the time period they were living in, at that point in time in England, they had what was called a state church. And you did not have the opportunity to attend whatever church you wanted to. You attended the state church or else. That was how it worked. And Latimer and Ridley were two men that came to know Christ as their Savior. And for obvious reasons, they left the state church. And because they did that, they were tried and found as heretics unless they renounced their faith in Christ. And then back then, it wasn't just some simple sentencing of 10, 20 years. You were to be burned at the stake if you were found a heretic. And these men were found guilty of that charge, and they said, we're not going to recant our faith in Christ, we believe Christ. And as they were being prepared to be burned at the stake in Oxford, it is said that Latimer said this to Ridley, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as shall never be put out." What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? What it means to be strong is to play the part even till death. It means to have a conviction in the Word of God and the God of the Word to the point that we are willing to die for it. That's what it means to be strong. And friend, what this world and what this town and what our homes need is for people to have a conviction in Jesus Christ and His Word and to be strong and to seize His Word, to fasten upon it, and to play our part in following God. That's what this world needs today. You want to know what the answer to your home is? Be strong in the Lord. It's not physical might. It's spiritually saying, I am fasting upon God and His Word, and I'm not just going to die for it. I'm going to live for it. You know what's missing in our nation today is conviction. And we're missing the right conviction. We have people that have the wrong conviction in all sorts of things. But we, as believers in Christ, we should be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is high time we play our part. It is high time we seize the truth of God's word and we're willing to live for it and we're willing to die for it. We see, secondly, not only should we be strong, but the word also be of good courage. That word courage means establish, fortify, to be alert, increase, prevail. And friend, we serve a prevailing God this morning. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday several weeks ago. And I want to remind you, that same God that died on the cross and rose again 3 days later, 2,000 plus years ago, is the same God alive and is living and is working and is prevailing today. Why can we be not just strong but of a good courage? Because we serve a prevailing God. And because we serve a prevailing God, what it means to be of good courage is that we should be prevailing. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I love how it says not only we be strong, but that word courage means we should establish and fortify. What do we establish and fortify our lives upon? We establish and fortify our lives upon this book because it's the truth. Everything else is sifting sand. Everything else is moving and falling apart. But I'll tell you one place you can be of good courage on. It's this book because it liveth and abideth forever. You want to see something that never changes, that's always the truth? You're not going to find it in a GOP or a Democrat or whatever else you want to look for. It's found in God and his word. And what we should be strong and of good courage of today is found in our God. You want to establish your life upon something that you don't have to worry about changing? Be of good courage and establish it in the book. You want to fortify yourself around something? No offense, but guns is not going to last forever. All the other amendments aren't going to be worth fortifying around. Fortify yourself in the Word of God. And as Joshua and the nation of Israel begins to prepare to enter into the land of Canaan, God reminds them and he says this, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because what they are about to do was going to require those things. And friend, we're living in a day and age today where we're going to have to determine to be strong and of good courage. Number one, why be strong and of a good courage? To live a life of victory. You come to verse 6 where the Bible says this, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. All the way back to the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12, God said, the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, is my people's land. It's my land for my people. God promised that those hundreds, thousands of years before Joshua even came on the scene. And God promised them victory. But I want to remind you today, why be strong and of good courage and live in a life of victory? Because we serve a victorious Savior this morning. I don't have to worry about what happens in 2024. I don't have to worry about what happens after that. I don't have to worry about anything because I've read the end of this book. And the end of this book says, my king wins. The end of this book says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why be strong and of a good courage? Because we serve a victorious Savior this morning. I know why we should be the most victorious, the most bold people on this earth. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. He's victorious. He conquered sin. I don't know anybody on this earth that's conquered sin outside of Christ. Nobody has and nobody will. It's Jesus that's conquered sin. I don't know somebody that's conquered death, but Christ has. And I don't know who holds the keys to hell and the grave outside of Christ. Only Christ does. And why should we be strong and of good courage? Because we serve a victorious Savior. If any home should be a victorious home, it should be the Christian home. Why? Because we have victory in Christ. If there is a co-worker that should be the most victorious, it should not be the one that whose party won and whatever election, it should be the Christian because we serve a victorious God this morning. In the 1800s and 1700s, oftentimes in the battle, they would have what's called a guidon. And I don't know if you've ever been in the military before or know what I'm talking about, but it's a flag. And they have a guidon. And in the Civil War, depending on what side you're on, the Union would have the American flag. And in the heat of battle, what would happen is if you were to determine where you were standing in your line with your unit, and in the smoke and the confusion of it all, if you wanted to know what you would do is you'd look for your guidon through the smoke. And where your guidon stood is where you knew your position was to be, and it is either to go forward or go backwards. So you had to know where you're at, amen? Otherwise, you may be by yourself. And in the battle of those days, sometimes the guidon would go forward, sometimes it would go backwards, sometimes it would just stand still and hold. But I want to tell you, friend, in the spiritual warfare we are today, with all the fury, with all the smoke, you look up and you're going to see your captain of the host with his guidon. And I want to remind you, it keeps advancing. Why? Because we serve a victorious Savior this morning. You want to be on a winning side that never knows defeat? It's in Jesus Christ and it's on His side. Why? Because He's our victorious Savior. And God is trying to encourage Joshua in this book. And He's trying to tell him, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Because I've already promised the land to you. It's not found in you or the people. It's found in Me. And if you just follow Me, I'll give you victory. Friend, God wants to give us victory. Too many Christians, I think, feel like, oh, I'm just defeated and there's no hope. We have the hope. We have hope in Christ. Victory is found in Him. I love what it says in Deuteronomy 24, for the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Oh, that's a blessed verse. Our God goes with us to fight for us. Psalm 108:13 says this, through God we shall do valiantly, for it is He that shall tread down our enemies. I love that. It doesn't say through God we shall do okay, through God we'll do so-so, through God we may or may not win. It says through God we can do valiantly. For it is He that tread down our enemies. Friend, our God will tread down our enemies. Our God is a victorious God this morning. We don't serve a defeated God. Do you realize there are people today that are getting up and going to temples and going to Mecca and going to all sorts of places, worshiping a dead God? My God's alive, and through Him I have valiant victory. Why? Because He's a victorious Savior. I love 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, we have victory in Christ this morning. It is high time we be reminded that we're not on a losing side. Although everything around us may look like we're losing, we're still on the victorious side. We still have the victory. It's in Christ and Christ alone. Why can we be strong and of good courage and living a life of victory? Number two, why be strong and of good courage? And following the word of God. Verse 7 and 8 says this, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Friend, we have to be strong and of good courage in following the word of God today. Because we are living in a day today where the word of God is now being openly mocked in this country. I was reading somewhere in the news where they were at a protest of some sort, and a lady literally grabbed a Bible and started ripping pages out of it. Just ripping them. And friend, if you think it's just going to be some cute, cuddly, we'll hold till the rapture comes kind of thing, I'm warning you, there's now coming a time sooner than we think where to stand upon this book is not just going to be some culture thing, it's going to come at a cost. And we have to believe that this book is the truth. And in order to believe that this book is the truth, we have to be strong and of a good courage. We have to believe that's the answer for our homes. We have to believe that's the answer for our church. We have to believe it's the answer for our community. And because of that, we also have to believe it's the answer for our personal lives. And in order to do that, we have to determine now to be strong and of a good courage. Because there are some things in this book that don't make sense, humanly speaking. You read in this book, you'll find that Joshua, right after this, he's instructed to go and march around the wall of Jericho 7 days. On the seventh day, seven times, blow the trumpet, and the walls come tumbling down. Now, the walls of Jericho, friend, were not some puny little walls. These were thick walls. These were cemented walls. These were meant to last for years in case of conflict. And I don't know about you, having been in the military, if my leader would have said, this is what we were doing, I said, you are nuts, unless we're doing PT for this. I don't know what else we're doing this for. It doesn't make sense, but it made sense because God was in it. It doesn't make sense today to raise our homes the way God calls us to anymore. I mentioned this earlier, but when is the last time you've seen a show where the dad was the leader of the home and wasn't looking like an idiot? When is the last time you watched a show where the teenagers weren't in rebellion, living a sinful life where people openly didn't applaud it? When is the last time you didn't see where people living in illicit and sinful relationships when it was looked at as a wrong thing? Friend, we got to be strong and of good courage in following the Word of God. Can I tell you what the LGBTQ plus is attacking? It's not attacking social reform. It's not attacking other things. It's attacking this book. Because at the core of it all, what it is attacking is the fact that God made he male and female, created he them. And we have to be convinced, we have to be strong and of good courage that this is the truth. Because if we're not, there's going to come a time where I'm afraid people are just going to go away just for the sake of convenience. God's people, be strong and of good courage in following the Word of God. The first part in following the Word of God, it says this in verse 7. I'll reread this. It says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. What does it mean, number one, in following the Word of God? Number one, don't live a life of compromise. God specifically tells Joshua, Joshua, as you enter into the land, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right of my word. Follow exactly what I tell you to do. And friend, as a believer for some time, I can testify that it is easy and it's a temptation to read the Word of God and say, Lord, I'll follow 90% of this, but let me do the rest of the 10%. Lord, I think I know what you want me to do. I'll just do what I got it on my own. When you read through the book of Joshua, you find that when they followed God and his word, they saw great victory. But when they decided to compromise, you see great defeat. Like I said, with the walls of Jericho, they see God do a great thing. They didn't turn to the left or to the right, but God gave some specific instructions. After the walls of Jericho were to fall, what did he say? Don't take anything out of the city of Jericho. Leave it. One man determines he's going to take some garments, some silver, and some gold. They go into the next battle at Ai, who was much weaker than the city of Jericho. They go in thinking they got this, and they get demolished. Why? Because one man decided to turn to the left and to the right, and it cost the nations a victory. Friend, how many homes have been destroyed because fathers decided to turn to the left and to the right? How many homes have been destroyed because mothers have turned to the left or to the right? How many young people have ruined their lives because they decided to get away from the Word of God? How many churches that once were preaching the Word, seeing souls saved, no longer exist because they decided to turn from the Word of God? Friend, God desires for us to follow His Word and follow it all the way. I love what it says in Deuteronomy 5:32. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. Proverbs 4:27 says this, do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. You see, in the human mind, I believe it's a temptation to think, well, this is a gray area. How many have heard that term before? This is a gray area. So-and-so seems to be prospering in the gray area. We always compare ourselves to one another instead of Christ. This is a gray area. In the mind of God, friend, there's either right or wrong. There's either sin or there's holiness. There's either evil or there's good. We don't serve a compromising God this morning. We don't serve a God that says, well, this is kind of what I meant. No, no, no. He's very clear and specific in his directions. And it's high time we as believers determine we are going to follow God at his word. Not just 90% of raising our families. Not just 90% of what we do in our workplace. Not just 90% of our churches. All the way we're going to go with God. We're not going to turn from the right or to the left. I wonder if the reason why we see what we see today is because God's people have decided that we're going to turn to the right and to the left, and we're reaping the consequences today. For the first time in American history, do you realize that the quote-unquote Christians have a higher divorce rate than those that don't go to church? Why is that happening? Because we are turning to the right and to the left. It is high time we get back into following God at His word all the way. It goes on and says this in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Not only are we supposed to live a life that we don't compromise, but let me ask you this, what do we speak about? Because what we speak about is what we love. We could spend 5 minutes, all of us, one-on-one conversations, 5 minutes, and we all know what each other loves. Why? Because what's in the heart comes out in the mouth. Here's what God is telling Joshua. Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Friend, when is the last time we've talked to somebody for 5 minutes about the Word of God? When is the last time you got alone with your spouse or a friend or a sibling or whoever it may be and said, let me tell you what God's been doing in my life through His Word? It's convicting to think about how often we talk about so many other things, but we spend so little time talking about the Word of God. And yet this is the book that we claim has hope. This is the book that we claim the God of this book has saved our souls, yet we spend little to no time talking about Him. Oh, friend, God doesn't tell Joshua, just speak a little bit about it. What does He say? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What does that mean? You should be always talking about it, Joshua. You should always be focusing on it. You realize more of us could probably spend 3 or 4 hours talking about what was on the news today than probably what we got in our devotions this morning. We could spend hours talking about all the problems, but we have the hope and we have the answer in this book, yet we spend little to no time talking about it. And when we begin to talk about it, we often stop because somebody tries to silence us. Friend, the hope of this nation is this book, the God of this book. And yet we have the answer and we spend so little time talking about it. God doesn't just instruct Joshua just to talk about it a little bit. He says it should not depart out of your mouth. What does He mean? It should always be in your mouth. You should always be speaking about it. And I'm going to tell you this right now. That requires being strong and of good courage. Because the moment you start talking about this book on the workplace, oh, can't talk about that. Maybe starting up devotions in your home. Oh, why are we doing this, Dad? Mom, why are you quoting scripture to me about when I mess up? Be strong and of good courage in speaking about the Word of God. He goes on and says this, not only should we obey it, live a life of not compromising, speaking about it, but He says here, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Not only should we be speaking about it, we should be thinking about it. I used to think that we lived in a day and age where we don't have time to meditate, but that's wrong. We do have time to meditate. We'll meditate on what we want to meditate on. When college football comes around, can I admit, that's hard for me to meditate on something else outside of my football team, amen? I love to meditate on them if they're winning. If they're not, I don't want to meditate on them. We'll meditate on things we want to, won't we? We'll meditate on what happens around us. We'll meditate on maybe a project. We'll meditate on all sorts of things. But as a believer, the thing we should meditate upon the most is the Word of God. The thing we should think about the most is not the news, not the problems that we have, not whatever else we're aiming for. The thing we should meditate upon is God and His Word. And I love what he says this. He says, not only should you meditate upon it partially, he says, think about it day and night. What does that mean? It should be all we think about. It should be our encompassing thought is the Word of God. I love what it says in Psalm 1:2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. You know why we don't meditate upon God and His Word like we should? Because we don't delight in it. How often do we do our devotions out of duty and not out of love? You know why it's called devotions and not duty? Because it should be done in and through love for Jesus Christ. The psalmist says, His delight is in the law of the Lord. What we delight in is what we'll think about. And the thing we should delight in thinking about the most is not the sports teams, it's not the news, it's not all these other things. The thing we should delight in thinking about is God and His Word. Because who we love, we'll think about. My wife, I love to think about her when I can remember, especially this, if anybody remembers when you're first starting to date somebody, what do? You think about them all the time. What are they doing now? What are they not doing now? What are they doing here? What? You delight in thinking about them. But just like we delight in thinking about a significant other, a spouse, a loved one, greater so should we delight in God and His Word. It continues on in Psalm 104:34. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. When is the last time we thought upon God and it was sweet to us? I'll admit to you first, friend, that oftentimes if I'm not careful in my prayer life, you know how I pray? Give me. Give me. Lord, I have this problem. Answer it. Lord, I have this want. Answer it. Lord, I have this need. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Lord, there's all these things. Give me, give me, give me. The psalmist says this, my meditation of him shall be sweet. What does that mean? When he thinks about God, he doesn't just think about all these things he needs. He thinks about God as in a relationship. He loves the Lord. He wants to be with him. When was the last time we opened the Word of God and it was sweet to us? Not just what can I get out of this? Philippians 4:8 tells us when we think about God and his word, this is what happens. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Friend, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I haven't been saved long and I haven't been around long, but I'll tell you this, you're not going to find that in the news today. You're not going to find the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, praise. You're not going to find that in the news. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says that times are only going to get worse. You're not going to find those things on social media. You're not going to find those things on your TV. You're not going to find those things in whatever place you find comfort. The only place you will find these things to think upon are found in this book. You want to think on what's true? Turn off the TV and get in the Word of God. You want to think about what's just? Turn off those things and get in the Word of God. You want honesty? Get in the Word of God. You want virtue and praise? Get in this book. We have the blessed hope in the Word of God, and yet we spend so much time looking at all these other things and meditating on all these other things. It's time we meditate and get back in the Word of God. That's what it means to be strong and of good courage. We see lastly in following the Word of God, not only should we meditate, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, many of us love the end of that verse. We love the prospering and success, don't we? If we were to take a survey here this morning, I would ask, how many of you want to be prosperous and successful? There's not going to be a single hand that is honest that's going to keep their hand down. We all want to be prosperous and successful. But here's the key as well that's found in the prospering success. It's complete obedience to God. God tells Joshua at the end of it all, not only should we not live a life of compromise, not only should we be speaking and meditating upon the Word of God, but we also just need to simply obey it. I heard this quote recently and I love it. It says, this expectation without effort is entitlement. Expectation without effort is entitlement. And before we start pointing fingers at all the people we think are entitled, how many of us as Christians live entitled lives? We want the prospering and the success that God has, but we're not willing to live a life of obedience. We expect God to bless us in our disobedience. We expect God to bless us when we live a compromised life. We expect God to do all these things for us. Friend, I got to tell you, the only way we will see prospering and success is by complete obedience to the Word of God. I've recently heard a sermon on this passage, and something I thought was interesting. In verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. That word tread has the idea of back in the day, and those times, in order to turn from grapes into grape juice, what they would have to do is they have to bring all the grapes together into a centering pot and they have to press upon it. They have to stomp it down with their feet. That word was tread. You know what God is trying to tell Joshua? He says, Joshua, you're going to have to work and do your part of trusting me and I will meet you there and I will bless you. What does that mean? That means we have to tread in obedience to God and his word. Before the prospering and the success happens, we have to first be obedient to the Word of God. We got to get busy treading. God has given us basic things in following his word. God has given us instructions to obey it. And yet how often we live a compromised, disobedient life, and then we wonder why we have no prospering and success. Friend, we serve a holy, righteous God. He is not going to compromise who he is so we can be successful. If we want success, if we want prospering, and by the way, oftentimes that's spiritual, not temporary. Too many people think God's not blessing them because they don't have a bigger home. Friend, the success and prospering that God is talking about is spiritual. You want the spiritual prospering success? Be obedient to this book. And that means be strong and of a good courage. Isaiah 1:19 says this, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." The key to eating the good of the land is found in that first word, if. You want to see God do great things in our lives? We want to see God bless us and use us? We have to be willing and obedient. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that requires being strong and of a good courage and following the word of God. Lastly and closely, why be strong and of good courage? Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Why be strong and of a good courage? Lastly, because God is always with us. Friend, if I can encourage you with this one thing, let me encourage you today. You're not alone. When you determine to be the Christian co-worker on your job and you get mocked, rest assured, God is with you. When you decide, I'm going to be the father that God has called me to be in following his word and raising my home, rest assured, God is with you. When I decide to be the mother that God has called me to be as mothers, be the wife, be the young person in my school to be the witness, rest assured, when you stand on the truth of God's word, be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because he won't leave you. Why go to Libby, Montana in the middle of nowhere with 3,000 people? Because God is going with us. We can rest assured in the most dire circumstances, no matter how great the storm you're in this morning, whether it's physical, financial, family, spiritual, whatever you're going through this morning, rest assured, as long as God is in your boat, he will always be with you. Why can we be strong and of good courage in the face of a society that outright openly mocks God? Because God is with us. And if we have to face death at some point in time for this book, rest assured, God will always be with us. Because we serve a faithful God. If there's one thing God has taught me on deputation, is that he is faithful. And as they were preparing to enter into the land of Canaan with all the things that are about to go happen, the fighting, the warring, the disbelief, the murmuring that they would have to endure with the nation of Israel, God reminds Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, Joshua, because I'm going to be with you. You know why we lack the boldness? Is because we forget that God's with us. You know why we lack the boldness to tell somebody about the word of God? Because we forget God's still with us. You know why we lack the boldness to raise our families the way that we should? Because we forget that God is with us. Friend, a Christian life is not an alone life. It's a together life. It's a work with God. So be strong and of good courage. I'm sick and tired of seeing all these groups being so bold in their stance for something that's so wrong, and we all know the end of it. If anybody should be bold on this earth, it should be us as believers, because we serve the risen Savior and our God is with us. We have Muslims that are willing to murder themselves for a dead God. Yet we have Christians that can't even live for Jesus. Why? Because we forget that he's with us. Be strong and of a good courage. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them." I want to remind you, don't be afraid of the enemy. The enemy is at the footstool of our Savior this morning, the Bible says. The enemy is no greater than our God. The enemy is one day is going to face its judgment, and it's going to be all over with Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Continues on, "For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee." Remind yourself, friend, God goes with you. When you go to witness to your neighbor that's openly mocked God for years, God goes with you. When you raise your family, God goes with you. When you go and you witness and you be the light in your workplace, God goes with you. But I love at the end, he will not fail thee. Friend, everybody else in this world will fail you, but God will never fail you. I've been saved for 10 years now, and I can testify God has never failed me. Even when I fail him, he still doesn't fail me. God never fails us. But I love at the end, nor forsake thee. Friend, everybody else in this world will forsake you or could forsake you, but God won't forsake you. I'm reminded of the book of Job in the Old Testament. Job lost everything in a day. His wife comes to him and says, Job, just curse God and die. Think about that. Yet guess what? God never forsook him. God stayed with him all the way. Friend, what we need today, more than anything, is Christians to be strong and of a good courage. What we need is for us to get our eyes off of all this temporary distraction. I believe the devil's done a good job of distracting us from what's really important. And what's really important is what's in front of us. And we need to be strong and of a good courage. Are you a person that is strong and of a good courage this morning? You may be here and you've never committed your life to the Lord. Now is the day to do that. I promise you, friend, the greatest thing you'll ever make, the greatest decision you'll ever make is what you do with Jesus Christ. But as a believer, will you determine, I'm going to be a person that will be strong and of a good courage? And by the way, that's just not a moment decision. That's a day-by-day decision. That's tomorrow morning when you wake up and go to work and your boss tells you to do something. Be strong and of a good courage. When you're soul winning to your neighbor on Thursday and they're cussing you out, be strong and of good courage. On Friday night, when you're trying to raise your family with family devotions and they're questioning you, be strong and of good courage. Young person, when your friends tempt you to do something that you know is sin, be strong and of good courage. What will change this nation is when God's people decide to be strong and of good courage. And that can start in this church this morning. Do you realize that this church could not only impact this community, but it could impact the world with the gospel? Because that's how great of a God we have. But we have to determine, I'm going to be strong and of good courage in Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for